Dan Celia.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
But I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celia.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call, you are welcome to do that. So we've got a number of things. First of all, President Trump said yesterday that U.S. authorities would begin next week removing, just saying what he said, removing millions of illegal immigrants who are in the United States. They will be starting next week. I would suspect that the Democrats would go along with that. Here's a clip that might verify that the Democrats would go along with that.
1 year ago this month, senators of both parties, with support from the business community, labor, law enforcement, faith communities, came together to pass a common sense immigration bill. Independent experts said that bill would strengthen our borders, grow our economy, shrink our deficits. As we speak, there are enough Republicans and Democrats in the House to pass an immigration bill today. I would sign it into law today. And Washington would solve a problem in a bipartisan way. But for more than a year, Republicans in the House of Representatives have refused to allow an up or down vote on that Senate bill or any legislation to fix our broken immigration system. And I held off on pressuring them for a long time to give Speaker Boehner the space he needed to get his fellow Republicans on board. Meanwhile, here's what a year of obstruction has meant. It's meant fewer resources to strengthen our borders. It's meant more businesses free to game the system by hiring undocumented workers, which punishes businesses that play by the rules and drives down wages for hardworking Americans.
So obviously the Democrats know a little bit about doing nothing, right, on immigration. Now, President Obama was all about trying to do something on immigration. It was all about boosting the economy through securing our border, protecting against the hiring of illegal immigrants. He actually used the word illegal. Do you believe it? A Democrat used the word illegal. Yeah, he actually did. You heard it. Pretty amazing. Now we've got Democrats doing nothing to secure our borders, to protect Americans, when obviously there was a sentiment back when President Obama was president that we ought to do that. Somehow that's gone away. Is it because President Trump wants to do it this time instead of President Obama? Yeah, that would be the reason. Pretty amazing. Oh, man. 844-707-5533. I found that clip because I was looking for clips, and I found an article that indicate that just before the inauguration of President Trump, that the White House deleted, White House staffers, deleted all the video clips on immigration. That was a clip still hanging out there on YouTube. Once it gets there, hard to get rid of, but nonetheless. Oh, man, I'll tell you, it is amazing. Hey, President Trump, just 28 minutes ago, sent out a tweet. Would have a lot to do with why the markets are where they are. We're coming to our ag report, though. I'll hold off on that tweet. But it is doesn't take much to do anything. And I'll tell you, I said this morning to somebody, I was doing an early morning interview on a radio station out on the West Coast. So it was the middle of the night out there for all practical purposes. But, you know, indicating what is going on here, we're talking about immigration and what is happening. And got on to China and what is going on with the fact that there is no trade deal. And is that hurting the economy? Yes, it's hurting sentiment. I don't want to say it's hurting the economy. Obviously, sentiment going bad will hurt the economy. And it's hurting business sentiment. And I said on, you'll see this week, tonight, I said on CBN News that, look, this the G summit meeting next week in Japan is going to be more like trying to come up with a truce instead of a trade deal. That's how bad all of this is going. All right, here's our ag report. So important. Here's Craig Halgard. Then we'll be right back.
This is Craig Halgard with your Financial Issues Ag Update for Thursday, July 18th. It was a quiet day in the grain markets yesterday. Winter wheat harvest moves along at a fairly decent pace. The outside markets and influences were quiet, and the lack of fresh news left the focus on weather updates. Mostly hot and wet weather is expected for the next few days, with a cooler, drier pattern to develop next week. So frankly, the weather forecast left traders trying to figure out what to do as well. The next USDA crop production and supply and demand report is not scheduled for release until August 12th, so the market could continue to flounder for direction until then. Corn prices traded both sides on weather conditions. This week's heat was thought to have possibly caused damage to the crop, while next week's cooler and drier conditions are expected to be beneficial to the corn crop. Weekly ethanol production was reported at 1,066,000 barrels per day, which is an increase of 19,000 barrels per day over the previous week. As I record this, the overnight spot corn futures are trading 4 cents lower. Soybeans closed lower yesterday on forecasts for cooler weather patterns to develop next week. Pressure also stemmed from some technical selling. The trade's expectation is that the soybean crop will get a reprieve from this week's hot, wet conditions to that of cool and dry next week, and that is seen as potentially beneficial to the crop condition. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures are trading down 2 cents. The wheat market closed lower on harvest pressure in the winter wheat areas. Winter wheat continues to get sold off the combine, while spring wheat is being sold as farmers need to pay bills or make space for the upcoming row crop harvest. In the overnight trade, Chicago is a nickel lower, Kansas City is down 4 cents, and Minneapolis is trading a penny lower. Cotton futures continue to struggle. Yesterday found the December futures 57 points lower as they closed at 62.49. In the overnight trade, spot futures are trading down an additional 16 points. Livestock futures were mixed yesterday, with cattle lower and hogs stronger. August live cattle futures finished the session down 10 cents, while August feeder cattle futures closed down 47.5 cents for the day. Lean hog futures turned in a solid session, with August $2.95 higher, and the deferred month sharply higher as well. Tomorrow afternoon, the USDA will release their July 1 cattle on feed report. The average trade estimate is that on feed will be at 101.9%, June placements at 98.2%, and June marketings at 97%. Class 3 milk futures showed some strength again, with August futures 17 points higher to settle at 1767. In the overnight trade, spot futures are trading an additional 10 points higher. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes were 36 cents lower as they settled at $212.57 per hundredweight, while selects were 82 cents lower for the day as they closed out at $188.34. In hogs, the pork carcass values finished 68 cents higher as they closed the session at $76.48 per hundredweight. This has been Craig Halgard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. We'll be right back with more financial issues after this.
So the futures markets all in positive territory, nothing but green. Of course, yesterday we closed in positive territory. So we'll see. We'll see where we end up. Yesterday, the Dow was up a half of 1%. The S&P was up over a half of 1%. And the NASDAQ was up 1.1%. So a very good day yesterday for the markets. We've had a lot to make up, but not that much. The S&P, man, if we can be up another 16 points today and another 16 points tomorrow, we will be in positive territory for the week. All this volatility, and we're in positive territory. How's that happen? 844-707-5533. You know, I love, you know, this is just goes to show some of the crazy kind of thinking. They just don't get it over in the Eurozone. Mark Cohen, one of my favorite statements of the week will be France's Mark Cohen. He says this, he's very concerned. He says, U.S. policy is driven by nothing but private sector interest. Yeah. Yeah. I know. You're a young man. You grew up in this, you know, socialist environment. See, that's called capitalism. That's called capitalism. You know, it's kind of like patriotism is support of one's country and people, not the globalist agenda that you love so much. And now he's disappointed that Trump cares nothing more about U.S. policy being driven by the private sector interests. Yeah. See, we don't live in a country, Mr. Marcon, we don't live in a country by which the government is responsible for creating jobs. We don't live in that environment. The country, the government, is responsible to make sure everybody's getting paid something. That the government's not responsible for the entire population's well-being of healthcare and wages. That's socialism. So you may not be so happy about it. And your people, obviously, that elected you are happy that you care much more about the Eurozone experiment of globalism than you do about the people that actually elected you and your country, France. But apparently, they're all okay with that. But see, the United States and the people of the United States care about our country. We care about what is in the best interest of our country. We care about what is right. See, Americans do their best when they are challenged. I believe that. I believe that they will always do their best when they are being challenged. That's what makes America great. And when our country is being challenged, Americans will step up to the plate. I believe that. China right now betting on the fact that President Trump's not going to have a second term. Now, maybe they know something that we don't know from the fix is in. I don't know. Maybe that's possible. I think we need to go back to paper ballot in the next election and get rid of all the electronic voting. And if it takes 2 weeks to go through the ballot, so be it. Make no mistake about it, with all the socialists and all the European nations that are trying to embrace China and Iran as a means of hanging on by the skin of their teeth with their economy, good luck with that. We don't need you to come alongside us, though we sure would like it. We would like to be united as allies against evil, against communism. That would be communist China. Against radical Islamic dictators like we have in Iran against terrorist states and nations and terrorist groups. We understand that you want to embrace all of that. You want to open your borders. You want to invite them in. You want to change what made your countries great for the good of all the others. That's fine. We won't begrudge your opportunity to do that if you'd like. But see, we would like to be working with allies that not care about America, but that care about their countries as much as we care about our country, that wants to see their country protected, that if we were in trouble, would fight for us, and that if they were in trouble, we would fight for them. See, our allies have taken for granted the fact that they can treat us poorly, create trade imbalances, force us to support their economies, and if they ever get in war with one of the evil situations out there that they are embracing, that we're going to come alongside and help them out. I hope we continue to do that. I suspect we will. But in the meantime, you will continue, because of the same as our Democrats in this country, you don't like somebody. The Democratic Party is saying, why don't we just impeach President Trump? We don't like him. Can we just impeach him? It doesn't work like that. It's not what it's based on. There has to be a legitimate reason. There has to be proof. There has to be evidence. And then it's got to get approved by the Republican-controlled Senate. Not liking someone is not a reason to impeach. We have enough people in the House of Representatives and in the Senate that won't give this president any wins and vote for this president in any way, shape, or form in anything he does just because they don't like him. He's offended them. Or people like Mitt Romney that are still living and eating a bowl of sour grapes every morning. Can't take it. It's amazing. President Trump is declaring a national emergency over the threats against U.S. technology amid a campaign against Huawei. Yesterday, he declared a national emergency over these threats in Americans' technology. Would you like him not to declare that state of emergency? Would you like us not to just to sit back and say, well, whatever happens. Oh, listen, it's just an electrical grid. It's irrelevant. Oh, it's just our national defense. And, you know, if they want to attack our missile defense system and all those. It's just the way it is. We don't need to. Why are we declaring a state of emergency? Let's just ask them nicely. Please don't attack our grid system. Please don't attack our technology. Why don't we just ask them? We can do that. President Trump needs to pick up the phone and apologize for American exceptionalism and apologizing for his desire to take care of America and American values and the American people and the American workers. Just apologize for that. How dare him do that? And of course, if he did that, that would fix everything. Iran, Taliban, ISIS, they don't, terrorist groups, terrorist states, they don't really hate us. They just don't like how good we are. If we could just admit that we're not that good, they would probably like us. We could take that. That's the President Obama book of diplomacy for world leaders and how to get along with the world. We could do that. You think that's what Americans want? Maybe they do. I guess we'll find out if that's what they want in the next presidential election. Apparently, China is taking a much more aggressive tone in the trade war. Well, that's okay. They can do that if they want. Remember, you're dealing with a communist regime that cares little about the starving people, cares little about their unemployment rate. People will die as a result of unemployment in China. But that's okay. So they expect that, we expect that their top leadership will forward this notion that the U.S. is doing nothing but bullying China. We're not bullying anybody. And that's what they call it. You know, it's we're being bullied. We're not going to be bullied. Well, we're not going to be taken advantage of financially. If you want to call that bullying, that's fine. We're okay with that. I don't think we have a problem with that. I don't think anybody has a problem with that. But that's not what we're saying is happening. All we're saying is we want to be treated fairly. We want what is right for American people and American companies, American corporations. China is fighting a war without ammunition. Not sure why they would want to do that, but that's what they're doing. All right, listen, if you want to queue your call up, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533, you're welcome to do that. When we come back off this break, though, we have Twyla Brace, cchfreedom.org. You know who Twyla Brace is. Most of you know who Twyla Brace is. And we're going to go to Twyla, and we're going to talk a little bit about Medicare, Medicare or the lack thereof that might happen in a few years and a couple other things that we need to know. So we'll be right back with Twyla. Then we will get to your phones. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. Renault is the other car manufacturer, French automaker, Renault, Fiat, Chrysler, talking about a possible merger that would save the company, they're saying, hundreds of billions of dollars, which obviously it will, from manufacturing expenses and duplicity, getting rid of so much of that. And it would be, you know, a good thing for that auto sector. So we'll see if that happens. I don't see any reason why it wouldn't. I don't believe that there would be any issue, I don't think, from any kind of antitrust rules here in America. But maybe in other parts. 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Tom. Tom's calling us from Virginia. Hey, Tom. Tom? All right, we don't have Tom. All right, let me go to Patty. Patty calling us from Indiana. Hey, Patty.
Hi.
Good morning.
Hey, Good morning. I just became a new partner this weekend, and I've spent lots of hours on the website, and just want to say I'm really grateful for how practical it is, how right. It takes all the academic rigor out of the decision process and lets me focus on what is best for me and my family.
That's great.
So I don't know if people realize I've tried to learn these things through an online college, and it is very complex. So I hope people realize the depth of your knowledge and what the gift is that you're giving to us. So
thank you, Patty.
You're welcome. I'm on the cusp of two asset allocations due to my age. Uh-huh. I'm 64 years old. My husband is also 64. So we have all of our funds, our retirement funds, at a brokerage firm that doesn't offer Timothy funds, and we had been really disappointed with the target date funds and the hidden fees that they have and what happened this past December. And so we're making a move to change. And so right now I have everything sitting in a federal money market fund at that organization, and I want to move it over to where I can access some Timothy funds, and so I think that it's smart for us to open a trust, and I'm not sure would I open the trust first, move everything into the trust, and then open the accounts at the new brokerage firm.
Yes.
How does that work?
Yes, so you would have your trust open first. You would, you know, a trust is more just a paper document. So it would be a living trust. You would establish that living trust. Then you would open up the new brokerage account in the name of the trust, which is basically you and your husband's name, trustee of the, your name of your trust and date of the trust. And so it would be in the trust account. It would be because either way, you would have to do that with an account. So if you have an account already opened, you would have to open another account, and then you would transfer whatever's in that into the other accounts, the trust account. So either way, you're going to have to go through that process, and it would make better sense to do that now. Not hold off and do it once you set up the new brokerage account.
Yeah, okay. So then what about sitting on the cusp of two asset allocations? What would you advise there?
So let me ask you, Patty, what is so when you think of the monies that you have invested and are going to be invested, what are your plans for that? Are you thinking, well, in 2 or 3 years, we're going to be retired, or we are retired now, we're going to start using some of that for income? What's your situation with that money?
Well, I'm going to quit here in the next month or so. But my husband, the main breadwinner, will continue for at least another year. And about half of our money is sitting in Roth investment. And so we don't have to take our minimum required distribution yet. So I'm thinking that we'll draw out of the Roth in conjunction with our Social Security monies and leave the tax deferred to a later date. I'm not sure, but I know that my husband will continue working for at least another year or two. And we don't need to access any of those funds until he retires.
So I would probably suggest that you would do both accounts, your Roth and your traditional, in neither one of those portfolio models, but do it in the income portfolio model, which is the last model on the list of pie charts there. It's the one on the bottom. And
you still go by your age then?
No.
Saying there's an income model below everything?
Yeah, there's an income model below everything that is for people that are going to be dependent upon, not dependent upon wholly, but using this portfolio to supplement their income. And I would want you to be in a place where you have a portfolio that is generating income, and that you would be actually taking that income, you know, every month, taking that income out that it's generating. That's going to help preserve the principal and give you some income, you know, for that. And I would rather you do that. I think that would be a better model for you to take advantage of.
Okay. Okay. So if I'm gonna go with the income model, am I going to try to, just like you were talking about, how we have some ground to make up from May. So is this a good time to get that trust established and jump right in with both feet on whatever I can on the, from the buy list for the income fund, for the income producing money?
Yeah, I wouldn't be, I wouldn't take any kind of sense of urgency at all. I want you to get moving. I want you to get that trust set up. If that's what you, why, let me ask you why you're setting up a trust, if you don't mind.
Well, we're up over $500,000. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that it would make it a whole lot easier for, for our kids when we die, and to be able to pass the money, even some of it down to our grandchildren for their education.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, I mean, it's not, so it does make it easier to settle the estate, but you're not going to save any. So remember, I'm guessing, I don't know, but the majority of your money may be in this traditional IRA.
No.
No? Okay.
Majority in the Roth.
In the Roth, okay.
Not by much. It's close to a 45,
okay. 55. So I don't know what the rule is on the Roth anymore because it's changed. But a traditional IRA, you can't put into trust. So that's going to be separated out. And it may be a Roth too. It may be all qualified money. It used to be, and then they changed it, I thought. Then they might have changed. I think they might have changed it back. So I'm not sure. I don't know that a trust is going to be a lot of benefit other than make it easier to settle it. But that's it. You can't, when you transfer money to your grandchildren in a will or trust, there is a generational skipping tax. That hopefully is going away altogether. But if it doesn't, if Democrats coming back in office, it's going to come back. And if that happens, you're not going to help that situation. So I wouldn't be, now, if a state tax come back into play, then it might help depending on what they do. But it's going to cost you $2,500 or something to say set up a trust, and may not help you that much.
Okay.
So I would give some thought to that.
Okay.
But well, I think just go start, once you get those accounts open, then just start gradually going in. The income model is a little bit different in the sense that, you know, you need to just kind of get in, create those income vehicles, and get started on it.
Okay. All right. Well, one more comment then. I'm just really glad to see the pendulum swinging on China, because I've never understood why consumers would grumble about losing jobs to China, yet they all shop at Walmart.
Isn't that the truth? You're singing my song on that, Patty, so I agree with you 100%. It's always been, I can't tell you over the years how many calls I've gotten from people. Every time there's an economic downturn, for example, for the last 8 years of the Obama administration, the last 2 years of the Bush administration, anytime there's downturns in the economy, people say, "Oh, China, all our jobs got moved to China." I mean, I used to get call after call about how angry people were for that. Well, we moved our manufacturer. Now we have an opportunity to fight back, and everybody needs to be supporting this administration.
Yeah, I remember, you know, a couple decades ago, maybe 3 decades ago, going into Walmart, and there weren't very many of them, but I was in Central Illinois. Alney, Illinois was one of the first.
Yep.
And you would go in, and there'd be this big banner in front, made in the USA.
Yeah, right.
You know, Sam Walton's rolling over in his grave now.
Yep.
Okay.
No doubt.
All right. Good.
Thank you, Patty.
To you, Dan.
All right.
Keep
God bless.
Good work.
Thank you. I'll
Love
do
you.
It.
Bye.
Right. 844-707-5533. We'll be right back.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
All right, we're going to get to phones, 844-707-5533, Rapid Fire Friday, financial issues, FISM.TV. I hope you're telling your friends about it. I hope you're checking it out. What you're seeing on FISM.TV, not my program, but all the programming, is just the beginning. We've got so much coming, so we're very excited about it. I hope what we want to do is we want to see that organic growth. So like we've seen with FISM, financial issues, it has been amazing. And, you know, I've said this before, and I keep telling people, I mean, we've had over a million on any given week. I don't know. I'm going back like 7-8 weeks ago was the last time I got a number. It was over 1.1 million interactions with our phone app, just our phone app. That's not the rest of our platform. So we're growing those platforms. We want to continue to grow those platforms. You know why? Because we don't want you to ever be without financial issues. No, and not just this program. Obviously, this is our flagship program. It always will be. And we don't want you to ever be without it. There's too much on the line for you to be without this. This is the reason why you partner with the ministry so you can get a sell order like I put up today on the website. We want you to make sure that you can be a part of this ministry, support this ministry, and through being a partnership, and that you are getting some great, great stewardship opportunity for the kingdom of Jesus Christ, not just for yourself. We want you to be blessed, but we know you will be blessed because God promises us that. Those that bless me, I shall bless. And we know that, but we want to give you that opportunity to do that as much as we possibly can, because every single person, every time I speak somewhere, I get thousands of people every year telling me they feel so much at peace and thanking me. It's not me. It's not me. If you feel that peace, it's a peace that the Lord's giving you. And he's giving you that peace because you have made a conscious decision to honor him, not just praise him for the blessings, but to honor him with the blessings that he's giving you and your money. So that's what we're all about. But all these other things are going to be so that we can continue to minister to a broader segment of the population, because we believe that God didn't build all this and raise up all of this to not be used for kingdom work in every dark corner that we can get to. And that's what we're trying to do. All right, let me go to Kay from Kansas. Hey, Kay. Or not.
Kay, hi, Dan.
Kay's
hi, Dan.
Not with
me. I'm here, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Hi, Kay.
Hey, I had a parent pass away recently who left an IRA with a fairly significant amount of money. The instructions were that I would split that with my sibling, which I don't have any problem doing. What I'm trying to figure out is if I would cash it out, obviously, I think there would be penalties and taxes due right away, and it would put me in a different income bracket. So I am wondering, is there a way around that? That's my first question. And my second question is, a friend told me about maybe rolling it over into an inheritance. IRA that I guess you have to title really specifically, and then I would have a minimum disbursement that I would have to take. But I'm wondering if I did do that, could my first minimum disbursement be to my sibling in that amount and take the taxes out of it, of course, and then I take my rest out at my leisure as long as I meet that minimum amount?
No, so what you have to do is divide the IRA up first. So your siblings, how many siblings do you have?
Just one. And okay. The way that the IRA was, it was transferred to me on death, so it's only in my name.
But it is in, where was it being held?
in my parents' name.
I know, but at a brokerage? Was it a brokerage account?
You know what? I'm still learning all of the details. Sorry, I don't know that.
All right, so you, it's in an inherited IRA. You might not realize it, but it.
I mean,
that's why I asked you where it was. I mean, it would be irresponsible, and frankly, I don't even think it's legal, that a brokerage company could roll that into your name without it being an inherited IRA. So it is already in an inherited IRA in all likelihood. If it isn't, that's going to open up a whole nother new set of, you know, can of worms. So hopefully it's already in an inherited IRA. If your sibling was not in the will at all, right? Wasn't named in the will?
But my father told me that
okay.
I needed to give half.
Yeah, that's fine. But they weren't named in the will at all. There was no name there. There was nothing in the will that divided assets equally.
No.
Okay. So what you've got to do, again, it should already be in an inherited IRA. I sure hope it is. If it's not, you're going to get a huge tax bill. So hopefully it is. It should have been. So I don't know how they could have put it in your name if it isn't. So you're in an inherited IRA, and yes, when you take that minimum required distribution, then whoever this sibling is, you can't make that in a way that they would be responsible for the taxes. So you've got two options. You can get the disbursement, see what half of it is, and if you get a disbursement of $1,000, sounds like it's going to be way more than that, but if you get a disbursement of $1,000 and you want to give $500 to your sibling, then you have to do the tax calculation and give that sibling $397 or whatever it is. You know what I mean? Whatever the tax is that you do the calculation. So you can do that, but you are going to be responsible. You can't put the responsibility of the tax in any way, shape, or form on that sibling.
Yes, and I did understand that. I just figured that I would take the taxes out of their portion. And then my thought was at least maybe I wouldn't get put in the higher income bracket.
Oh, no.
It's just the half.
No, it's all going to be counted to you as income.
Okay.
You can't avoid that either. So the disbursement, that $1,000, using that example again, the whole $1,000 is going to count to you as income. They can't separate the 1099. So at the end of the year, you're going to get a 1099 for $1,000 as a distribution from that.
Right.
And you're going to have to file. Yep.
And then just to make this a little bit tougher, my father, one of the things that he really wanted, he wanted us both to have the money, and he felt like that he lived his whole life saving and didn't get to use it, and he wanted us to use it. So I don't know if I would take my half out or if I would leave it and let it grow, but if I did take my half out, it would just be the same. It'd be the taxes, and that would be it. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Is there any better way to do that? So my biggest thing is to honor my father's wishes and make sure that I get the half to my sibling and do it quickly. He wanted it done very quickly. So is there a better way to do it than what I'm thinking?
No. When you say take the half out, you mean a lump sum half?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, no, there's no better way to do it. I mean, other than not to do it like that. I mean, that's really going to, you said it was a considerable amount. It's going to put you in a terrible tax position because you'll have to pay all that tax this year on that half. And then next year you're going to have to estimate taxes to the IRS for that amount every quarter next year, even though you're not going to do that again and you're not going to have it, and you should get most of those estimated taxes back, but nonetheless, they're going to make you estimate those taxes. So that's kind of annoying. So you're going to have the burden of the tax, you know, that you have to pay, and then you're going to have the same burden of the taxes you're going to have to pay next year. The difference is next year, you should get most of it back. But yeah, that there's no other way of doing it, unfortunately.
Okay. I appreciate that, Dan. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Kay. I wish you all the best. God bless. Folks, I got to take a second here to just, this is why, and if we have people listening that are seniors, people listening that are retired, and, you know, look, the vast majority of the wealth in this nation, $17, $18 trillion of the wealth in this nation is held in qualified money, IRA money. You know, you are not doing your heirs any help. You're not helping them by not spending that money. You need to have a systematic plan of withdrawing that money on a regular basis and paying tax on it, because it's so much better for them to pay, for you to pay your tax rate on it now, as opposed to pushing your children in higher tax brackets and paying a higher tax rate on that money. They're getting far less money by doing that. Start that withdrawal. You can't avoid the taxes. You can avoid them because you're in glory. You don't care now. But you're putting a burden on your children that you don't have to. So you need to try to work the system the best way you can.